Well, good morning, folks. We're going to start out with our I'll Fly Away song again. I'll Fly Away. Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a land on heaven's joyful shore. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. We're going to be praying right after we read our scripture for this morning. And welcome on this beautiful spring morning. Isn't it just wonderful? I'm almost feeling like, wow, two great weekends in a row with weather. That's wonderful. All right, here we are. Revelation chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 17. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. We are grateful for it. We do, Father, lift up those that are having great troubles that are part of our classes here. Lord, we ask that you would be with Sally, and thank you so much for the good news she got on Friday. Father, that was, I'm sure, very refreshing to them. But we ask you, Father, just to continue to work both in her heart, Father, that you would just have your will there. We pray, Father, for all her family, that you give them strength for each day. Father, we lift up to you our beloved brother Keith. We know, Father, that he has, well, living out in Colorado. We don't see him here, but Father, you know all about it, that he has COVID and he has pneumonia and that he is in a hospital. But Father, we just ask you to help those taking care of him to do exactly what would be right. Well, Father, there's so many complications, and this is something that has to be from you as far as taking care of Keith. Be with Michelle and the others, Father, his family. Father, we also lift up to you Sharon and Linda, whose hearts are hurting and aching. Father, just bless them. Help them, Father, through each day. And thank you, Father, for grace and for Joanne and her chronic pain. Lord, others that are suffering on a daily basis, in their hearts or in their bodies. And Father, those that are weak of spirit, we ask you, Lord, just to help us, as it is a broken world. It's going to get a lot worse, we know. But Father, here, we need your grace each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are memorizing Revelation 22, and I have to admit to you, this is the first time I've ever had to do this. I actually had to fill in the blanks so I can say it with you without looking like I didn't do anything. But I gotta tell you, I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like I had memorized this. I'm working on it, and I'm praying I can get Revelation 22 before the end of our class. But it's just a really busy time right now. So let's look at Revelation 22, verse 11. Ready to begin. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, as far as I can tell, what this is talking about is when the time comes for the end, I mean, that's too late. It's too late. Right? You know, the idea that you can always just make the adjustments you need right at the last moment. And this is saying, no, it'll be too late. And that seems to be the meaning of that. And of course, we're at the end of the Bible when we get to that. All right, here's the memory verse for the next lesson. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And let's say that. And this is why it's too late, right? You won't have time. Ready, begin. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Revelation 22, 12. Now, we're not saved by works, and we're not kept saved by works. It's not something that when it says every work, you know, some people going to heaven, some people not going to heaven because of their works. But there is a time of reward. And that is what's being spoken of here. So I'm saved by the grace of God, but, you know, there'll be a time I'm judged based on, you know, how I responded to that grace in my life. And the Bible speaks of rewards. And so what will be rewarded according to the works? All right? Not all my good intentions, but what I did with my life. And so I believe that's what is being referred to there. Okay, so the passage to read for the next lesson is that final, you know, probably be the most well-known personage of Christ, right? And so here you see him revealed, and we learn some things about him. So read Revelation 13, 1 through 9. Revelation 13, 1 through 9 for next week. Okay, so let's take a little review here. Don't have a word search. Don't have a crossword puzzle. Instead, it's just some matching from the box below. All right. Revelation 12:1, in that verse, it talks about some things that are to be taken figuratively. What are they? Signs, G. Now, that's interesting because we were talking about in the book of Revelation that as we approach this class, as we teach the book of Revelation, we're taking it literally. This is what is going to happen in the future. It is not something that we just take and make it an allegory of some kind of event. But there are places in the book of Revelation where it says these are signs, and it's not just talking about these are important things. It's just saying here's something that is John sees, but it represents something much broader, much bigger. And so we have to take them figuratively. All right? So I always like to do that. When I approach my Bible, I always want to take it literally when it speaks literally and take it figuratively when it speaks figuratively. All right? So if you ask me, how'd you eat breakfast this morning, Tom? I said, well, I ate like a bird. Okay, so that doesn't mean I've seen birds eat. They just, you know, kind of don't have hands to pick up their food. So you don't take that literally, right? I always like that when I slept like a baby last night. I mean, with babies I've ever seen or dealt with, they wake up every 2 hours crying, right? So that's not a good sign. Now, but these things that are spoken of in Revelation chapter 12 should be taken figuratively. So we have to kind of, you know, you have to realize that I'm interpreting what I think they mean. I might be wrong, right? But this is. I think a good possibility of what they mean. How about this? The woman was clothed with the what? With the sun. How about the woman represents what? Israel. Why? Well, she's got these 12 crowns, the moon under her feet and all these kinds of things. So that's pretty, from what happens here, it's pretty obvious she's representing Israel. We ought to take it literally that she's Mary, the mother of Jesus, giving birth to this child. I mean, there might be some application there, but that's not the main application. She's Israel. All right, how about this? The male seed of Eve will bruise Satan's what? Head. Hey, we saw that in Genesis 3:15. One of the most important verses in your Bible is right at the beginning. After the fall of humankind, it says that God addressed Satan and said, hey, I declare war between you and this woman. That's interesting because he didn't say between you and Adam. Yes, let's fight it out. He says between you and this woman, between your seed and her seed, her descendant. He says, hey, Satan, he, the descendant of the woman, is going to bruise your head. He's going to destroy you. Some descendant of the woman. You know how, you know, God created a special fish, we believe, to swallow Jonah. I don't think it was necessarily a whale that you can go find out there. I think he created a special fish. to swallow Jonah for him to be able to live in his belly for 3 days or whatever happened to him there. Okay, but I'm just saying, God is not going to create a special being to defeat Satan, you know, a special angel. He's going to use a human to do this, because guess who Satan deceived and caused to fall? A human. He says, you think you got away with that? This is all in Genesis 3:15, of course. This idea, a human, a descendant of Eve, is going to destroy you, devil. Right? Then it ends with this. Genesis 3:15 ends with this. And you, Satan, will bruise his heel. He's going to suffer. In the process of destroying you, this descendant of the woman will suffer. I tell you, there's a summary there of just about everything else you're going to find in your Bible. And according to what we saw in Revelation chapter 12 at the beginning of it, what we're seeing here is a figurative representation of this whole struggle between Satan and this descendant of the woman. It's all spoken of there from last week's lesson. That's why I'm just reviewing it right now. Okay, so the child, number five, the child represents who? The Messiah, the Christ, that descendant of the woman who would destroy Satan. Number six, caught up refers to the blank of Christ. Ascension, right? That he was taken, and that's where he is right now in heaven. The great red dragon is what? Satan. Number eight, the blank of Satan takes place before the Garden of Eden. The fall of Satan. The fall of Satan. Is that what I have in there? Okay, B, yes. The fall of Satan happens before he comes into the garden and deceives Eve and Adam, and they eat the fruit and the fall of mankind. The fall happened. And that's what happens there in chapter 12. You see, the first thing that's spoken of is that Satan takes a third with his tail, takes a third of the stars of heaven with him. Okay, so that's his fall. You know, class, this is really important. You ever see a waterfall that doesn't go all the way down in its fall, but it hits a level, hits a rock or something, and it gathers there again and falls a little farther and hits a rock. Cascades, right? You ever see that? They do that. And they talk about waterfalls, their total distance that they fall. But sometimes they fall in these cascades that aren't in just one moment. That's the same way with Satan. When he falls in the Garden of Eden, his fall is from a certain position that he held. All right? So it isn't his total destruction in the lake of fire. That's going to come. That's going to happen. But we sometimes have a hard time understanding about this cascade effect that Satan, and we have it here in Revelation 12. I hope by the end of today's class, you can recognize that he has these steps that he goes down, kind of like Jonah. You know how Jonah went down to Tarsus, and then he went down to the ship, and then he went down into the ship, you know, as he was running from God? It is that Satan is falling in these steps, and we want God to judge him and make him fall completely. Why not at that moment in the Garden of Eden, you know, or right after he fell, taking a third of the stars of heaven with him, the demons of heaven, God didn't cast him into the lake of fire? I mean, that's a legitimate question, and I don't have the answer. I can't tell you for sure why, but I know in God and his wisdom, he is going to end up there. But between those two, there's these moments where he falls from another level to another level to another level, lower, always lower, until the lake of fire at the end of the Bible. All right, so let's get to this next one. Nine, the blank of Satan as an accuser takes place during the 70th week of Daniel. H, the expulsion of him as co. And this is confusing to think, wait a second, I thought he had this wonderful position in heaven as being a guard of God's righteousness, according to Ezekiel and Isaiah. He had this wonderful position that because of pride he fell from. Okay, that is true. That happened before Eve and Adam were deceived. But the fact is that he still had access to heaven, because Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 talk about him being able to get up to heaven. And that's one of the most ancient books of the Bible, Job. And accused Job before God that he appeared with the other angels before God. And accused Job of not being what God thought he was, that he just served God because God had a hedge about him. Okay, so you get the picture there. Evidently, even to this day, Satan has access to the throne room. He doesn't dwell there, though. That's not his place. He doesn't have that place that he had before his fall. He was cast out of that. But he still has access to pretend, a charade. Hey, God, remember, I'm the guy that was protecting your righteousness all these years, keeping these people from being with you. Do you know that Job He is not what he thinks, what you think he is. He's pretending. He's doing this charade of accusing God's children before God. They aren't worthy of you. And so he falls from that position, what we saw last week in Revelation chapter 12, and verse 9. He falls from that position. Okay, so how about this? 10. There is a blank in the narrative between Revelation 11, 19, and 15, 5. A pause. Hey, take the remote, hit the pause button. Because the narrative that ends with a, and I didn't bring my seventh trumpet. I know you're so sad. Okay, so between the seventh trumpet and the actual enacting out, or what happens because of the seventh trumpet, there's this pause to set the stage. Why did God have to do all the things he's going to do to the world at the end of the tribulation or the second half of the tribulation? Why? And this is why. We're just reminded of all that has happened in the past here and up to that point. Okay, so, and then the pause button is hit again, or the resume button is hit in chapter 15, verse 5. Okay, how about 11? How many important personages of the 70th week of Daniel are revealed in these chapters? Seven important personages. And we've seen about four of them, right, so far. And you're going to meet another one next week. Of course, the Antichrist in chapter 13. Okay, look at chapter 12. The man-child will rule all nations with a rod of iron. Hey, that's the Messiah. That's the Christ. And of course, that's talking about his kingdom that will come. All right, so that's just a little review of what we've had before. I want to tell you, you know where we pick it up in verses 9 and 10? Let's do that. Verse 9. We're in Revelation 12. Verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." That is not what happened before the Garden of Eden. This is what happened in the middle of the tribulation time, where Satan, even to this moment, is able to access the throne of God to accuse his children before God, to act still like he's the protector of God's righteousness. He's a deceiver. But he is kicked out of that, even being able to come to the throne of God for that purpose of being the accuser. He is kicked out in verse 9. He lost the battle against Michael and his angels. Now, this is interesting because, again, this is last week, I know, but think about this. How many years since the fall of Satan that Satan was able, by the sovereign choice of God, that Satan was able to come before the throne of God and accuse us, the children of God? How many years did Michael stand by and say, "I could get rid of this guy. Lord, just say the word, and I'll get him." How many years did Michael... By the way, it says in the book of Jude that even at the death of Moses, there was this battle between Satan and Michael, or you say a dispute about the body of Moses. It says that in the book of Jude. And that Michael wasn't able to take and shake Satan and throw him down and take the body of Moses. No, Michael was he could only say this: "The Lord rebuke you." The vengeance hadn't come yet. But you realize what happened in chapter 12 is God said, "Okay, Michael, get him." Can you imagine in this future event, about halfway through the 70th week of Daniel, when Michael is turned loose and the angels are turned loose and he says, "We're going to cleanse heaven. His filthy feet will not be allowed in front of my throne anymore. We're going to cleanse heaven of him." And I bet Michael and the others shout with joy. And now there's this real battle that results in Satan being expelled from being able to accuse the brethren. And I hope in the context you can see that that's what has happened here. He deceiveth the whole world. That's me. That's you. That's what he tries to do. Deceive the whole world. Yes, Rick.
In Lucifer's initial fall, he was no longer allowed to dwell in heaven, but he was still allowed to access heaven.
That appears to be so.
Now he has no access at all.
At this point, in the future, John sees that he will have no access to heaven anymore. And so that point in the future, hey, by the way, I saw this fact as I was reading about this stuff, that verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 are the middle verses of the book of Revelation. the middle verses. That, in fact, that verse 9, and that great dragon was cast. That's the middle verse of the book of Revelation. Now, it's completely coincidental because the verses and the chapters were not even created till hundreds of years after the Bible was finished, right? It's just coincidental. But it's interesting to me that that is the middle verse. But I didn't believe it. So I counted all the verses in the book of Revelation, divided by 2, and then counted up to that verse. Yep, that is the middle verse, verses 8 and 9. It divides right there. But verse 9 starts the second half of the book of Revelation, and it starts the second half of the seven-year period. That's interesting to me. Of course, it's a coincidence. I'm not saying, oh, the ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. No, it is. It's just interesting. So I'm going to put a little note in there. Second half of the book of Revelation, second half of the seven-year period. It talks about 3.5 years that Satan has. 3.5 years to do his dirty work. He is given one last fling down here on earth. Now, not in heaven. He cascades down. And going from his position of, you know, Lucifer standing, guarding God's throne to this position of accuser, and now he's kicked out of that. He's not allowed up into heaven at all, but he is relegated to earth, and there he's going to have one last fling. And he knows it's short. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Saw a question over here. Yes, Bruce.
The 3.5 years, at the end of the 3.5 years, is when he and his angels are cast into the pit. Is that correct?
Well, it says that he's bound in a bottomless pit. He's bound. It's not the lake of fire. It's not his final destination. But he is bound at the end of the 3.5 years. And by the way, you know, there are a lot of churches and organizations that believe that Satan can be bound right now. And they pray that all the time. Lord, bind Satan so that this will not happen and that won't happen. And they actually take a lot of what we're reading right here kind of as if this is happening right now. We bind Satan. We're going to bind him. We're going to keep him from doing his dirty work right now. When that's not the case, right? God's going to bind Satan in the future. We don't pray about God doing anything to Satan right now. Even Michael's not able to do what he would like to do to Satan, much less me, right? But that day will come. This is what John is seeing in the future. In the middle of that 70th week of Daniel, Satan is cast out from his access. Did that answer your question, Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're at the point where his access to heaven is destroyed. That's gone away.
Right.
But he still has access to the earth.
Yes.
At this particular point.
Yes. His last swing. 3.5 year period. Then he's going to be bound at the beginning of the kingdom. And then after that, he's loose for a little bit. And then he's sent to the lake of fire for his final fall. You say, you can't get any lower than that. All right, great questions. Well, let's look at this as we continue here. So as Satan has his last fling, it lasts for 3.5 years, he can't hurt the child. He can't hurt the Messiah. He thought he had. He rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven. And he's up there in heaven. Does he have access to heaven anymore? No, he can't hurt the child. So who is he going to concentrate his wrath and hatred on? The woman. Now, I can't say me because I'm not here during this time. I can't say the church, the body of Christ, the believers in Jesus who live during this particular dispensation and age are taken out at the end of chapter 3. And the word church, I think we found out 17, 18 times. It's mentioned in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Revelation. Over and over again, the word church is found. And you haven't seen it since. In chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We haven't seen the word church once. Why is that? It's because the church is not there. The focus is back on Israel. The woman represents Israel, not the church. Now, why Israel? Well, first off, we said it's kind of interesting that it's a woman who is representing this, who gives birth to the child, because the Lord had said to Satan that it'll be a descendant of Eve, not a descendant of Adam. Even there, it's a reference to the virgin birth of Christ. It's a woman who will bring forth the Messiah. But in a broader picture, it's Israel. And the Jews have been always persecuted by Satan because he knows to get rid of them means to destroy the Messiah. But here, it is just pure malice. It's just pure hatred that he's not allowed this access to heaven anymore. Frustrates him like no end. I mean, he enjoyed getting up there. I'm sure during this age, during the church age, I keep him plenty busy. Hey, you know that guy, Tom? He's your child, right? Look at him. Look at him. This is ridiculous. What kind of God are you? You can't have those little clay things made of clay. Your children? You know, he could go on and on. And maybe some of you can relate to that. You know, you're giving some ammunition. But this is why I love. Yeah, I'm trying to give a broad picture, but we're going to look at the verses a little more closely in just a moment here. Okay, so in this section, now that he is not able to accuse the brethren anymore, he focuses on the woman and persecuting the woman. And God miraculously provides a safe place for the woman. We have to talk about safe places now as if they're all, you know, kind of wimpy. Here, you stand here. That's your safe place. Nobody's going to talk to you there. Nobody's going to call you names anymore. No, this is literally a safe place that God provides for Israel. Now, the key is that he had already told them, when you hear it's time to go to the safe place, go there. It's like when we train our students in school. You hear this, and you see those lights come on, and you hear a voice saying, "A fire has been reported in this building. It is important to leave the building. Please get out. Now, get out now." No, it says, we train them. You leave the building. Another kind of signal comes on. Maybe it's through the office. And they say, a tornado's been reported in the area here. Well, we know not to leave the building. Imagine we did the same thing. Our safe place is not to leave the building. Our safe place in the gym is the bathrooms. We go running into the bathroom. Well, walking calmly into the bathrooms. All right, so you realize there's a safe place in that time of danger. Well, Israel, if you read this, all right, Israel's given a safe place because Satan is just full of fury to get vengeance against them. He can't get them. Can you imagine? Okay, ratchet up Satan's fury. He's kicked out of heaven, access to heaven. Oh, I'll get Israel. Israel's given a safe place to go to. He's just getting madder and madder. You know, this idea of the angel of righteousness, you know, that maybe even wearing a clerical collar and seeming so good. Let's help the poor. Let's help this. Let's do this. Get, as long as you can get people off the gospel, Satan's happy, right? Okay, well, he's no longer pretending. He's called the devil. He's called the dragon. He's called Satan. He is not given that. You know, kind of a charade of being a nice guy, basically. And so what does he do? After he cannot get to the woman in these chapters, in these verses, he focuses on the remnant of the woman. And that must mean there are some Jews, there are some of the Jewish people who do not go to the safe spot. And we'll try to see who they are.
You have proof of that because the Bible says that there will be Jews in Jerusalem when Satan attacks with his army. Well, those are obviously in harm's way.
That's what I was just saying. There were some that didn't go. Right? Right. Right. And they didn't go, so Satan's going to concentrate on getting them. So his hatred. And that's what I think the last verse is saying. Right? So we'll get back to that. Okay, so here, let's start in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, folks, this shows us that this is going to, it says now. This is not the same as Satan's original fall. It is a different event that happens during the time of the 70th week of Daniel. And that he is right now able to accuse the brethren day and night. And the cistern too. Okay. I always figure it's got to be the old way of saying sisters. If it's the old way, brothers, brethren, sisters, cistern. All right. The brethren and the cisterns are being accused by Satan day and night because we give them plenty of ammunition, I'm sure. It is an amazing event. John, the writer of this book, John said in the book of John, 1 John chapter 2, that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the just. I love that. Jesus Christ, the just. He is our lawyer. So there's right now enacting in heaven, there is a scene of a courtroom. And there is Father the judge, God the Father the judge. And there is Satan, the prosecutor. And there we are, the defendants. And we have a lawyer. You know, lawyers, we ought to make too much, you know, too many jokes about them. And it's not fair. I mean, it's 99% of the lawyers that give the others a bad name. You know, we shouldn't make jokes about them like that. And so, anyway, the best lawyer of all, our advocate, Jesus Christ. And he is standing, he's just. And what I love is verse 11, it says, and they overcame him. They overcame Satan, it says. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So it's not, okay, the Father's saying, but look, Tom's really not that bad. I mean, he has his good moments, maybe one or two a week. And they kind of deal with the rest, you know. I'll just put it on a scale, good and bad. And yeah, he's way down like this, but, you know, those good ones, I'm going to make it my finger on. No, it's the blood of the Lamb. Jesus stands and he doesn't have to say maybe anything. He just shows the wounds. And his hands and his feet and his side to Satan. And he says, that's been paid for. The wrath that God should have on that Tom because of what he's doing right now was put on me on the cross. And I rose from the grave. I'm in heaven. And he is satisfied. The Father's satisfied with that. They overcome him. Now our righteousness. The blood of the Lamb. And then it says they overcome him also by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. You know, the fact that I do think it's important you tell people if you're saved. Now, first off, it's great comfort to them when you pass on for them to know that. I've written it in my Bibles. I hope that at my funeral one day somebody can open up some of the Bibles I've had in the past and they can say, you know, look at this. This is what Tom says. On such and such a date, he trusted Christ as Savior. And in a way, that's the word of my testimony. That's my story about how I trusted Christ. But that's what helps overcome Satan. You know, they might accuse me of all kinds of things, but Jesus brings up, but you know what? He says he trusted Christ as Savior. That's why I overcome him in that sense. Okay, so by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know, Satan is overcome as the accusations are made. In other words, he has to go away in shame because these things. You know, I'm not a martyr for Christ, but wouldn't that be the greatest evidence of all? That for Christ, I was willing to give my life. Not to get to heaven, but as a gratefulness for what he's done for me. All right, so look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, it said in the book of Daniel that in the middle of the 70th week, the Antichrist will break the covenant he has made with the people of Israel, and he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So evidently, in the middle of the seven-year period, we call the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation, Satan, I believe, inspires the Antichrist when he gets down here to earth after being cast down. He's so angry that these Jewish people are able to offer their sacrifices in their temple because the Antichrist made a deal with them that he inspires the Antichrist. What are you doing? Cut that off. Stop them. I'm sick of that. And that Satan inspires the Antichrist to break that deal with Israel. Now, that is speculation on my part. But it just seems to fit. When he gets down, that's the first thing he does is stops them from their worship in the temple. And he inspires the Antichrist, which we're going to all talk about later. He inspires the Antichrist, the scripture says, to walk into that temple himself and declare himself as God. There's no charade anymore. All right? The gloves are off. As far as Satan is concerned, and the Jewish people. All right, so there's partying in heaven. Partying. Not parting, partying. After he's cast out from any access, hey, I bet it was an irritant. It's not like having a grain of sand in a shoe or in an oyster or whatever it is, there is an irritant. Who is that? Okay, look at all these beautiful things. Who's that? That's Satan. Here he comes. He's going to do this again. He's not anyone anymore. Yeah. The victory is ours, and he's been cast out. There is partying in heaven. Joy. It says that. As a, no, partying, no. But okay. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But there's also a warning for earth. Because you think he's mad now? No, remember the gloves come off. He, woe to the earth and the inhabitants of it. And the sea, you know, that's kind of interesting to me. I know. Inhabitants of the sea? I don't know what that means. But the fact is, watch out, because here he comes. Justice is great in heaven. It's going to be bad on earth. Because he knows he has a short time. All right. How does he know he has a short time? Well, from what you're reading right here, he can read, I'm sure, that he's going to see that it talks about how the woman, Israel, is protected in the wilderness for 3.5 years. So he knows, I have 3.5 years. By the way, if we go 3.5 years from this moment, I'm not saying this could happen right now in our time, right? But I'm saying, how long is that, 3.5 years? Okay, so we would go from 21 to 22, 1 year, 22 to 23, 2 years, 23 to 24, 3 years, and then to Christmas. That'd be about half a year from now. So the Christmas of 24, that's how much time he has. I'm not saying that's going to happen right now. You understand that? I'm just trying to picture in our minds, when Satan has just his last fling, that's how much time he has to do everything he can. And I'm sure it's out of malice and vengeance and hatred. Over what has happened there? I got to back up when I do that swing. I saw a hand here somewhere.
But I think you answered it.
Okay.
The question was in verse 12, the inhabitants of the sea, you said you didn't...
I have no idea.
I was just wondering.
Submarines? People in submarines? I don't know. It could be, just the fishermen, the people that live on the sea. Let's look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child. Hey, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Kind of what we've been saying. He says, okay, well, I can't do this, what I was doing up in heaven. I can ratchet up my persecution of Israel down here. And it is Israel. It's not the church. It's not the body of Christ in the picture here right now. Remember how Daniel was told, hey, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who are the people of Daniel? The Jews. All right, so we had 69 weeks up to the death of Messiah. And then we have one more week of years, 70th week of Daniel, and that's this. And then the focus is not on us. It's on Israel again. That's what. Now, are there a lot of believers in Israel? Yes. But they don't become a part of the body of Christ like you are here. Jew and Gentile, part of the same body called the church. That is taken up at the end of the age of the church. And what the Jews are a part of here is they're saved, but they aren't part of the church or the body of Christ. Okay, so let's look at verse 14. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Do you remember a time when Israel left, went into the wilderness, and God took care of them? Do you remember that? It happened before, didn't it? Was he able to give them food in the form of manna? Was he able to even keep their clothes from wearing out, like their shoes wearing out? Was he able to take care of them, protect them from enemies? Yes, he was able to give them water out of a rock. Okay, so this is not new. This whole idea of once Satan is cast out as an accuser of the brethren, focuses his wrath on the people, the Jews flee. The Jewish people flee to a safe spot, and God takes care of them. And it says a time. How long would that be? Oh, let me make sure I got this in the right order. Where she is nourished for a time. Let's say that's 1 year. Times, that's 2 more years, 3. And half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. Which is, very consistent in the book of Revelation. 42 months, 30 days each, and all that. It works out to be 3.5 years. That is this last period. And here we are, right in the middle of the book of Revelation. And in the middle of the 70th week, where all that is taking place. Now, hold your place here, because I want you to see that Why do the Jewish people run for their lives? So let's go. We just got a moment here. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Do you know Jesus was very careful to tell the Jewish people when to run? When to run? I often wonder, and I don't want to be insensitive here because Lord knows, I still haven't exactly comprehended everything that happened at the Holocaust. But imagine that as Hitler kind of gained his power in the 1930s in Germany, he acted one way, he talked. I know he hated Jews all the time, but nobody had really pictured what he was going to do eventually. Imagine that there had been this revelation ahead of time that when he comes, run from Europe, leave Europe, don't stay in Europe, run for your life. In other words, it had been very clear, and everybody could read it, because this guy is going to do this to you. But unfortunately, some left, but not many, compared to those that were killed. Okay, so look at Matthew 24. Jesus has given the Jewish people the exact time they should run for their lives. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, so we're talking about the first 3.5 years of the tribulation time. When, verse 15, ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then, you see when and then? I circled those in my Bible. When you see this, then, verse 16, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's interesting. God gave his people a very clear, through Jesus' words on the Mount of Olives here, that here's what you see. Satan, or inspiring the Antichrist to enter into your temple. He breaks the covenant, of course, that's referred to in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And Antichrist stands in the temple proclaiming himself to be God. That's the abomination which brings desolation. Run for your lives. Don't go downstairs and get something. Run, just run. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? And it says in Revelation 12 that when Israel flees, God will protect them. He'll give them a safe spot. They don't need their food. They don't need all this stuff. Just run. Don't wait. Evidently, some do. Not everybody runs. But look, go back to Revelation 12. That Matthew 24, it's great to cross-reference your Bible with that those verses there. And let's go to Revelation 12. In verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. You know, again, is he seeing signs here? Yeah, I don't have to take that, literally. I can take it figuratively. I mean, it's okay, because we're told these are signs in chapter 12. So it could be that this flood is just like Pharaoh's armies coming after Israel and going to destroy them. And it looks bad. It looks like, and then all of a sudden they're miraculously delivered by the parting of the Red Sea. Well, here, God's going to do that again. He's going to deliver his people in the wilderness again. Provide a safe spot for them. And Satan is even more frustrated. Look at it, and we'll close with verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, he can't touch them. He can't touch the child. He is totally frustrated. But he knows there are some of her descendants, the Jewish people left. And they aren't in a safe place. They are vulnerable. And he goes to attack them. I personally believe that included in that number is the 144,000 that God had sealed. And he's just going to be even more frustrated when he can't kill them. But remember, I believe that they're kind of left as a witness. I can't prove that, but that they're left as a witness. And they didn't even go to the safe place. And now he turns his attention against them. But either way, we are now, the stage is set for the rise of the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. And so we'll pick it up there next week. Anybody have one more question? Yes, sir.
The sea and the waters, as representative, speak back earlier about the people. the nations, and as they, as they come against, collectively against Israel, they've got some miraculous to protect them.
Right. Not literally talking about the inhabitants of the ocean. Very good. He was saying that the inhabitants of the earth in general are being spoken of, figuratively speaking there. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the blessing of your word. We see things that are happening in the future that we've heard about, but maybe didn't see the context and how strongly the scripture speaks of these things. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be with you to witness them, not here, as eyewitnesses this way. In Jesus' name, amen.